Right, good morning, everybody. Welcome to the second webinar of 2008 from the AOSG. Thanks very much for everyone for joining us this morning, straight this afternoon. Very excited that today's webinar is going to be on the really, really interesting topic of wikis and how that interacts with open access and academic publishing, which I think is a fascinating topic and something we wouldn't really necessarily have been thinking about a few years ago. It's a fascinating area that's become really innovative. So just some housekeeping at the beginning. So first of all, I'm Ginny Barber. I'm the director of the AOSG. I'm based at QUT in Brisbane. I think I know quite a few people on the call, but not everybody. If you don't know too much about what we do, I invite you to have a look at our website, Twitter and such like, and follow us. This is our second year of doing webinars. For all of the webinars that we do, we record them and then we put up the slides on our website afterwards. So I'd encourage you to go back and have a look there. If you have a problem with recording, please do let me know. Or if you say something that you don't necessarily want to on the chat room to be passed on, then obviously please note that. But otherwise, we'll assume that because you're here that you're willing to be recorded and to have your comments included. We've got three speakers today, and I'm going to mute myself and turn the video off whilst we go to them. We will finish on time, actually at 2:45 the hour, which is slightly earlier than usual. And so we'll go through the presenters, we'll have three speakers going in order. Then what we'll do is have some time for questions. So for the questions, if you could type them into the chat box, put them on Twitter, and I will read them out and interview our participants at the end to make sure that we get some good responses. So please do feel free to join in. This is very much an interactive session. Okay, no further ado, I'm going to pass over to our first speaker, who is Thomas Shuffy from La Trobe University, who's been very involved in developing open access journals based on Wikipedia. It's a fascinating new area, and he's going to present his slides and take us through the work that he's been doing. Over to you, Thomas.
Hi, so I'll put up my slides on the main screen in that case. So we should have my slides now up. All right, can everyone hear me all right? Excellent. So I'm going to talk a bit today about some of the work that's going on in Wikipedia integrated open access publishing. But before I do that, I'll just give you a quick introduction to who I am and kind of how I came by this route. So my day job is as a biochemistry researcher. So I'm currently working as a postdoctoral researcher at La Trobe University in Melbourne. But my night job, I guess, is that I've been a long-time Wikipedia editor. So over the years, I've sort of made a few thousand edits to the encyclopedia, and in particular, I've done a lot of image uploads, because one of the things that the encyclopedia has traditionally struggled with is decent illustration for a lot of its articles. So just a bit of a background on Wikipedia for those who don't completely know its history. It's been around since 2001, and you can see on the top graph that it started off with this real exponential growth in its number of articles, which has slowed down over the last decade or so to a somewhat more linear growth in article number. But at the bottom graph, you can see the number of editors, and that shows a really different trend. So initially, there was a similar exponential growth in editors, but stricter standards that were introduced between 2007 and 2008 really caused a sudden shift in how editors were interacting with the encyclopedia. In particular, standards like what constitutes a reliable source that can be cited, what statements need sources to cite, what constitutes a sufficiently notable article, those sorts of things really changed how the encyclopedia was running at the time. However, there's been a recent resurgence in the number of editors joining the encyclopedia, as there have been some quite significant recruitment drives, and also easier editing tools to actually to use the encyclopedia. So one of the things that I'll be talking about today is going to be the English language side of things, but please bear in mind that there's almost 300 different language versions of Wikipedia. So I'm going to be talking exclusively about the work in English, but large language encyclopedias like German and Japanese and French are also doing quite interesting things, and there's incredibly fast movement in the much smaller language encyclopedias. So the reason I kind of got into Wikipedia as a background is partly due to readership. So I think in the best case scenario, my PhD thesis was probably read by maybe 5 people. And even top academic journal papers are only read by a few thousand, which compared to an average Wikipedia page isn't particularly impressive. And the top 5% of Wikipedia pages get over 1 million reads per year. So the readership of Wikipedia is understandably much larger than that the standard academic journal articles get. Additionally, it's not just for general interest. So as well as the general public using Wikipedia to find, in this case, medical content. Sorry, just quickly background on this slide. This is going to be stats specifically on people looking up Wikipedia's medical content to make medical decisions, just as an example. The same thing goes for other areas of the encyclopedia, but I think medical content is quite illustrative. So just over half the general public looks at Wikipedia, the vast majority of medical students, a surprising number of doctors, and most research scientists will use Wikipedia at some point during the last year to find medical information that will then inform decisions that they're making. So its accuracy is pretty important. One thing you might not know is that all Wikipedia pages are organized by their importance and their quality. So there's a matrix that you can see here from the lowest quality stub articles all the way up through to good articles and featured articles, and similarly, importance from top, high, mid, and low. Unsurprisingly, the vast majority of articles fall into this bottom right-hand corner of low importance stub articles. But these top two quality ratings are only achieved through a sort of a pseudo peer review. So good article status requires review by one other editor. Featured article status requires review by between 5 and 15 other encyclopedia editors. And this status is displayed on the article's talk page. Each different area of the encyclopedia, whether it's molecular biology or medicine or genetics, will tag pages as to whether they're within the scope of that particular subject or not, and give it one of these scores. However, external review of the encyclopedia has come across a few broad trends. So in particular, there's inconsistent coverage. There's often missing or out-of-date information. And because of the way that the encyclopedia is written by large numbers of authors, its readability is often pretty poor. And this accuracy has immediate impact. So I've mentioned that, you know, for example, healthcare decisions are informed by the content on the encyclopedia, but it's used so broadly that it is a key conduit for information to the general public. And yet, surprisingly, it's been difficult to engage academics and experts in editing the encyclopedia. And in part, this is because it doesn't give citable publications that can be put on CVs. And so one of the ways in which experts can be encouraged to contribute is by engaging them in this sort of wider ecosystem of Wikipedia. So down the center of this diagram is just kind of flow of information within Wikipedia, but particularly on the right-hand side, there's various ways in which content makes its way into the encyclopedia. And what I'll be talking about is the way that scholarly journals form a key part of this. So obviously, academic review articles in journals are quite different in many ways to Wikipedia. I've already talked about the readership size, and obviously readership composition is very different. So Wikipedia has to be able to be read by people with a very wide range of backgrounds, whereas obviously academic articles tend to focus on their own narrow field. Obviously, peer review is quite different in the two systems. So Wikipedia just has this, for the most part, I guess, post-publication peer review of content where it's constantly updated, with a very small minority of articles going through that good article or featured article, more stringent review process. But that review is by non-specialists. Those are subject generalists. The reputation of the two systems are obviously very different, although Wikipedia has surprisingly high public trust, so comparable to publishers in the news such as the BBC. Although academic opinion is mixed, it's in general improving over time as the quality of the encyclopedia improves. Obviously, in terms of authorship, people in academic journals are used to having relatively small numbers of authors, and typically those authors all know one another, whereas in Wikipedia, the number of authors on an article can be in the hundreds or in the thousands, many of whom are pseudonymous, anonymous, and almost invariably none of them have ever met each other. And obviously, academic journal articles are static publications, typically, that will be relevant at the time of publication, but will go out of date over time, whereas the idea with Wikipedia articles, of course, is that they're constantly updated through consensus. So here's an example of the same article, effectively, that was published in both the Encyclopedia and in Wikipedia. This was published by PLOS Computational Biology, and on the left-hand side is the version as seen in the journal. On the right-hand side is the version that's currently up in Wikipedia. And down at the bottom of that article, you can see that the Wikipedia article version links back to the published version so that people who are reading that page know that it's possible to find a peer-reviewed, stable version of that page, and also that that page has gone through more stringent checks than the standard Wikipedia page. So there's a few different ways in which these models of publishing in both Wikipedia and in academic journals can work. So the first one, and the one that I've alluded to that PLOS does, is a journal first model. So an open access article is published in the journal under a Creative Commons license typically, and is then copied across over to Wikipedia. An alternative model is a Wikipedia first model where Wikipedia is treated as though it were a preprint server. So an article is written in Wikipedia and then the journal puts it through academic peer review, publishes that article, and then integrates changes back into the Wikipedia version. So this is one of the primary routes for wiki journals, but also Open Journal of Medicine experimented with this a while back. And finally, there's a parallel model where an article is published in a journal, but then the authors are either required or requested to update or create a Wikipedia page on it. So this is also compatible with non-open access journals like Gene, which is, I think, an Elsevier journal. And in this case, different content is added to the journal version of the article and the Wikipedia version of the article. So in the case of the wiki journals, these are really specialized in this Wikipedia integrated format. And so articles are submitted to the preprint server where they're drafted and updated. They're submitted and subjected to a standard academic peer review. And then if they pass that peer review, they're published in the normal format. So a PDF version, an HTML version, and they are then indexed and given DOIs. And they're also then integrated into Wikipedia to get that broad readership. The Wikipedia first version of this publishing flow is essentially the exact same thing, but with moving Wikipedia articles treated as preprints over to that server that the journal maintains. So there are currently three journals that use this model. The original is the Wiki Journal of Medicine, which has been running for a few years, and then the two startup journals that have a much broader scope that are just starting up this year are the Wiki Journal of Science, which has a very broad STEM scope, and Wiki Journal of Humanities, which has an arts, humanities, social sciences scope. One of the key things in all of this is that who actually pays for the publication. The old reader subscription model is used by Gene and RNA Biology. They both have open access options, but obviously those incur large article processing fees. Similarly, there's the open access model run by PLOS, and Nicely, they waive the open access, they waive their article publishing fee for articles being published in their what they call topic page review format, which is their Wikipedia integrated format. And finally, there's the model that the Wiki journals run, which is via a charitable foundation. So because web hosting is covered by the Wikimedia Foundation, which is the same foundation that covers the web hosting costs of Wikipedia, because it's covered by the Wikimedia Foundation, it's able to operate without charging either article publishing fees or readership subscription fees. And the editors donate their labor in the same way that authors and peer reviewers donate their labor. So in the future, PLOS is looking to expand this model. So it's already been implemented by PLOS Computational Biology for a while. PLOS Genetics is starting up this year, and there's possibly extensions to the other PLOS journals. For Wiki journals, I've already mentioned that there's a medical journal and then these two broader scope science and humanities journals. Additionally, there's some special issues in the pipeline via collaborations with international organizations. So updating articles on epilepsy, extracellular vesicles, and breastfeeding through collaborations with either existing journals or existing academic societies. And obviously for Wiki journals, because of their sort of very unique format in being integrated with Wikipedia, there's a number of unique attributes that are going to be important during their Committee on Publication Ethics application. So this examples of this are obviously attribution of Creative Commons material, and particularly since large sections can be published from Wikipedia, including text and images. Obviously, ownership of those articles in the journal is handled by a Creative Commons license, but authors need to be aware that the material that's integrated into Wikipedia, they have no ownership of, and it will be updated and edited over time, either by them or others. Pushing the idea that Wikipedia can be treated as a preprint has been interesting. The main restriction on that is that Wikipedia publishes under a Creative Commons by attribution share alike license. And because of that license, anything using Wikipedia as a preprint has to publish under an identical license, which is actually quite an uncommon license in academic publishing. Finally, obviously, this idea of dual publication into Wikipedia throws up some of its own unique issues. So, for example, original research can't be included into the encyclopedic version, but it can be kept in the journal version. So sometimes the final section, for example, an outlook source or opinion section at the end of a review article in the journal won't get integrated into the encyclopedia. So obviously I'm happy to answer questions at the end when we move over to a panel discussion. Luckily my name is pretty unique on the internet, so I'm easy to find online if you need me.
Great. Thank you very much, Thomas. That's really fascinating. I've I'm sure everybody's got lots of questions, things I'd absolutely like to follow up on. But hold the questions for now, if you would, everybody. Please type them into the box. And I'm now going to pass over to the second half, which is to look at a sort of slightly different aspect of Wikipedia. So first of all, we're going to hear from Jacinta Sutton from State Library of Queensland. And then we're going to hear from Kate Harbison from QUT Library. So give me a moment whilst I just get up Jacinta's presentation. Okay, there we go. Over to you, Jacinta.
Hello, everyone. Thank you for having me and thank you for joining us today. As Jenny mentions, I'm a project officer at the State Library of Queensland, and State Library has quite a strong and established relationship with Wikipedia and Wikimedia Australia. A little bit about my contribution so far. OneLibOneRef 2017 and 2018, so coordinating those campaigns, which we managed to contribute over 1,000 citations for both years, which was quite a high percentage. I think that was in 2017, that was a quarter of the world's contributions. So that was pretty impressive for us. We're pretty happy about that. I've done Wikipedia editor training courses and was a library course guide with OCLC and WebJunction, a 9-week course, which was Wikipedia and libraries together. Wrote a paper for Wikimania about SLQ and Wikipedia working together. A bit different to Thomas's position, I'm a bit more on the engagement side and getting like staff and our libraries, strengthening that relationship and looking at how like we can really leverage each other's strengths and build on them as well. So if you want to have the next slide, that'd be great. Great, thank you. So today I'm going to talk to you about QWiki, which came off the back of the success of OneLibOneRef. We really wanted to leverage that, the enthusiasm that staff had shown with that campaign. So we decided to establish a monthly Wikipedia editing club. It's about demonstrating the capacity of GLAM organisations to make Wikipedia a more robust research ecosystem. So GLAM, galleries, libraries, archives and museums, for anyone that wasn't sure about that acronym. We're also looking at building information and digital literacy skills with our staff. So one thing I really like about writing and editing Wikipedia is the critical thinking skills that just start firing as soon as you get in that space. I just think it's really fantastic. And we're also looking at increasing the visibility of libraries engaging with Wikipedia. So I also think that the more Wikipedia engages with libraries, the more that democratization of knowledge and collaboration doesn't need to be opposed to the veracity and quality of information. So there's just a few photos from our campaigns. So we try to make them an enjoyable experience for people. It's a great networking opportunity as well. So you want to tap through the next slide? Thanks, Jenny. Can I get the next slide? Thanks. Cool. So yes, QWiki, it's open to anyone that's a employee in any GLAM organization, small, large, medium, everything in between. You're welcome if you're a novice, if you're a total beginner, or if you're more experienced and just want to kind of come along and, you know, get involved. So you can become more confident in your editing skills. You can look at your collections that you have in your organisation and use Wikipedia as a platform to showcase those as well. That's around the curator's policy that Wikipedia has enabled GLAM organisations to write about their collections and it not be a conflict of interest. So that's really helpful. And as I said, it's every month, and we look at different themes every month. You know, so the first one was International Women's Day. That's what really kicked it off. That photo, I think, is from International Women's Day. We've done Library and Information Week, NIDOC Week, the Brisbane Writers Festival, Anzac Day, and there was recently an electoral redistribution. So we uploaded all the maps of the new electorates just in time for the recent state election. So we kind of have a look what's going on in our community and map our kind of themes around that. We do mainly work within the biography of Queensland. That helps us because then we can use a lot of outer copyright material and we don't encourage new users or people learning and getting confident with Wikipedia to edit within controversial or like hot topics, you know, because it can be a quite abrasive environment. So we find that if they're in the past, you know, there's a lot of it's just a lot of safer space really for people to work within. Next slide, thank you. Can I get the next slide? Thanks, Ginny. I don't think I can change.
Sorry, it's just not cooperating. Give me a
moment. Oh, no, no problem, no problem.
Oh, there we go.
Great. Okay, so yeah, these are the most recent stats that we've got so far. So over 1,000 edits. We've worked on 361 articles, 80 images have been uploaded to Wikicommons, 31 editors, and I think, which is really nice, 8 million views of articles since we've edited them, so post-edit, and that number keeps on rising. So I think that's really great. The other thing is that a lot of our state library material is CC licensed, so a lot of our blog materials, we have several blogs, so we can use those a lot in the articles that we edit, so that's really helpful. And I recently just looked at some stats for our web traffic referrals and our top 25 websites that have accessed our digitized collections. So between the 15-16 and 16-17 financial year, Wikipedia went from 12th place on that list of top 25 websites to third place. The English Wikipedia, that is. And Commons went from 11th place to 5th place. The mobile version of Wikipedia went from 26th to 14th. The mobile version of Commons made its first appearance at 18th place in the 16-17 financial year. And I think that really demonstrates quite a tangible impact that we're having on discoverability of our collections as well. So I think that's a really great incentive. It's not necessarily our priority, but I think it's a fantastic incentive for LAMS to get involved. So we work with Kerry Raymond, who some of you may know. Do you want to tap over to the next slide, Ginny? That'd be great. Thank you. Kerry Raymond's a very experienced Wikipedian. She's very knowledgeable about the history of Queensland, and she was actually retired from QUT, a computer professor. She's made over 100,000 edits to Wikipedia and 70,000 to Wikicommons, so she's pretty much our lighthouse. She helps us facilitate each session, and I just couldn't ask for a better person, you know, to collaborate with in terms of the amount that she's taught people and enabled people to really, you know, guide them through being a novice Wikipedian. So, yeah, it's a perfect opportunity. So you can see the details, the first Monday of every month, apart from public holidays, if there's a public holiday, it will just be the next month over, at the Edge at the State Library of Queensland. So there's 15 max there, or you're welcome to bring your own device. 12 to 3, so it's a drop-in session. You can come for that whole time. We have staff visit to external staff from the State Library that come for the whole session, or some just come for in their lunch hour or that sort of thing. We can also help you with remote access, so we can do something like what we're doing now, so you can edit from wherever you are. We'd really like to encourage you to do that, and we'll still be there to help you facilitate the experience. And So far, we've got participants from the museum, Queensland Museum, QPAC, and QUT, which is Kate, who was speaking directly after me. We use the outreach dashboard to measure our stats, which is where I got those numbers from earlier. And we have a presence on Wikipedia. So if you search Q Wiki Club, if you put that into English Wikipedia, you'll find directed to our project pages. And there's all the history of everything that we've done, every theme, everything that we've worked on, what we're planning in the future. You can read about our One Live, One Ref. There's case studies. There's more information there about also, like, we did a big donation of 50,000 images to Wiki Commons, so you can read about the other history of the relationship between State Library and Wikipedia. But it's been, so far, really encouraging to see staff participate. And I think Thomas's slide earlier with the graph between the on the evolution of Wikipedia, that period between 2001 and 2007 was very much, you know, when there was a lot of vandalism, and I think that really helped to breed that reputation that Wikipedia was unreliable. But there's so much that's been done since then and continues to be done by people like Thomas and others. And so I think what's really fantastic is libraries coming in together. And we're natural allies, really. So it's been really great to be part of that. And yeah, we hope to see you there, and happy to answer any questions as well. So thank you very much.
Great. Thank you very much, Jacinta. That was fascinating. And I'm encouraging folks to put into the chat box if they've been editing or are editing Wikipedia. So maybe you'll pick up some folk from there.
Yeah, fantastic.
All right, lovely. So we're going on to our last presenter, which is Kate Harbison from QUT Library, who's here in the room with me. Give me a moment whilst we get up the her presentation, and get your questions ready, everybody.
Hi everyone, my name's Kate Harbison. I'm a liaison librarian at QUT, and I've been asked to come and talk about my interest in editing Wikipedia and QUT Library's first halting steps into the Wikipedia arena. I've been involved in crowdsourced editing for years. I've edited Trove, did some Wikipedia, but really I really like puzzling through transcribed letters and handwritten diaries, and I love plotting the GIS coordinates into maps. If it's more fun than cleaning, I'll do it, and everything is. But my interest in Wikipedia stems partly from my desire to break the mid-20s male mould of contributors. I think there's more than enough articles about video games. It's partly altruism, and it's partly just nerdiness. But what I love about Wikipedia is that it's free, it's open, and it's non-commercial. I just love not having promotional stuff. But if it's to continue to be useful, it does need verification and correction and a much broader balance of articles. In one of my other jobs, I'm also a local history librarian, and I started actually contributing when State Library of Queensland and the Local History Librarians Association group in Queensland made a concerted effort to increase the local Queensland content in Wikipedia. The training was done by Kerry Raymond, who is our guru too, and then we all created some Wikipedia pages in the area. At QUT, it's a bit different. Because of my interest in Wikipedia and other things like that, I've occasionally been asked for advice or assistance by people who are editing Wikipedia. But there's also been occasional suggestions that we could use Wikipedia to create pages for QUT researchers and for QUT research. And of course, we have to push back on that, especially as the push for academics to increase their profiles through things like ResearchGate and ORCID has increased. There have been people who want to go into Wikipedia for this same purpose. But that's obviously at odds with Wikipedia's first pillar. Wikipedia is an encyclopedia, and it would break the guidelines, loose as they are, about not creating articles about yourself or advertising or any original research. But we have helped people over the years. And we were there for one Lib One Ref in 2015. We had cake, and we always have cake. And when State Library of Queensland started their Q Wiki Club, which for the last 2 years I've referred to as a quickie club until I realised that's not how you pronounce it, we were there on the first day editing the, I just booked a room, bought cake, and showed people how to do some basic editing. I was then on leave for a few months, but we resumed our involvement with QWiki after I got back in September, and we kept going on. About halfway through last year, we were contacted by Kim Osman from the Digital Media Research Centre in the Faculty of Creative Industries. She's written her thesis about editing Wikipedia and articles, and she contacted us about facilitating a workshop for CI academics, outlining the issues that can arise and giving them some hands-on experience in Wikipedia editing. The aims, she said, were to facilitate collaboration among different parts of the creative industries faculty and associated library staff, and to get our HDRs thinking about different ways to communicate research, plus the feel-goodness of contributing to Wikipedia and building a skill set for this type of comms activity. And I think that that's certainly this capacity to give a lay profile of what's of your own research or contribute to research in that area. They hoped to get a small grant for the workshop, but that didn't eventuate. But luckily the library saw the obvious link to open access and they included it in the Open Access Week program. At this point, the audience was extended to include the rest of the library. The workshop was modelled on an editathon and it consisted of some introductory information about Wikipedia and why editing it is valuable and the skill set that you can learn and as a use as an amplifier of your own research interests. Marcus Foth then outlined the process he had to go through and the changes he had to make to ensure the urban informatics page met the Wikipedia guidelines and was useful to the general public, and there was a discussion about adding scholarly resources to articles, so basically enriching the articles. Kerry Raymond led the participants through creating a personal profile and editing and writing using the visual editing tool. Following this, we opened the QWiki workshops to beyond the library. Basically, it happens once a month when QWiki's going on, not for as long, which I only do an hour and a half. I demonstrate a quick and easy ways to edit Wikipedia and how to add references and show them the QWiki topics for the month. We get a handful of people. It's varied between 0 and 10. We have a bit of trouble with getting this language right so that we don't have too many people coming along thinking that they can promote their research or put their research directly into Wikipedia. When they do come along for that reason, generally I push them towards using ORCID or editing their staff profiles. And quite often you get someone who comes along to do the promotion and then picks up a topic and loves editing it. And had a man who went on to edit quite a few articles about dance, about which he knew nothing until he started doing it. We're planning for this year to try and include some of the more academic related aspects into it, so stuff like the ORCID integration and dual publishing, just to demonstrate those and the usefulness. And we're certainly planning another workshop in the future. But thank you.
Fantastic. Thank you very much, Kate. That's great. I think I was actually just really pleased to say that having the Wikipedia as part of OA Week celebrations last year at QUT was really important, and I think kind of was a great example of how OA, how Wikipedia, all these new emerging models are kind of increasingly important in sort of across the scholarly communication landscape. So really delighted to have that. Okay, so we'll go on to some questions now. I'm just going to have a quick look at everything that's in the chat room, and hope if anyone has any comments you still want to add, please do so. I did ask folk if they had done any Wikipedia editing, and I've got a few people coming in here. Really delighted to hear that people are using it in their work, and also that people are finding that there's an opportunity to sort of dip your toes into the water, which I know can sort of be a problem at the first sort of stages. I particularly like the La Trobe one, which Stephen Chang has highlighted here, saying that La Trobe had a session called Shut Up and Wiki. So maybe that's a kind of a nice one to be able to pick up. Okay, so a couple of other folk we've mentioned. Leigh Blackall has said that they are have been editing. Thomas, thank you very much for putting up your username there. That's really helpful. Kylie, also editing on local history. I think that's a highly relevant topic that lots of people do sort of get into somehow. Get into as a way of I certainly know I've been frustrated in finding things that have not been accurate about a local area. And also glad to hear from across the in New Zealand, we've got Wikipedia at Auckland Museum. I'm just going to open up, just ask a couple of questions. And as I say, I do apologise for finishing at 2:45 for a little bit shorter than usual. This is a question to everyone, but actually perhaps I'll just start with Thomas. There was this issue about the unreliability of Wikipedia. So I worked at PLOS Medicine until 2 or 3 years ago. We always use Wikipedia as sources for our editors, which are sort of the lay summaries of the work that we did. And we were forced to sort of put a disclaimer at the end, which said Wikipedia is an online encyclopedia, which anyone can edit and, you know, sort of take it at your peril, as it were. And I just wonder at what point you think we've moved from that into where it's now acceptable. And I will just say one other thing, which is my kid's school, my son's school, they're not allowed to use Wikipedia as a source, which I find quite astonishing. So comments on that from the participants.
Yeah, so I mean, I think the real turning point was the end of that Wild West period in 2007. Although surprisingly, even a study in 2005 by Nature compared the error rate in Wikipedia to the error rate in Encyclopedia Britannica and found them to be very similar. As to whether that's really ended, as you said, a lot of people still say don't cite Wikipedia. In part, that's totally reasonable. It's a tertiary source, so really you should be citing secondary or primary sources most of the time. But there's also this kind of extension of don't read Wikipedia, you know, avert your gaze. And I think that abstinence-only education model doesn't really work. I think really the information literacy to be able to read a Wikipedia page and see, is this statement cited? What reference is it citing? I should maybe go and have a look at that source. Those sorts of bits of information literacy, I think, are far more important both for reading Wikipedia and information in the world at large. So I think that the reputation of Wikipedia is just very, very slowly changing as people get more used to it. And really, the fact that anyone can edit it is actually, I think, the less important thing. I think people get hung up on that. Most errors in the encyclopedia aren't due to deliberate vandalism or errors from people putting in incorrect information because anyone can edit it. Most of the errors are either non-up-to-date information because a page is too obscure, it was updated by someone 5-10 years ago, but no one's updated it since. There'll just be a page missing or topics missing because no one has an interest in that topic. So in many ways, even though anyone can edit it, I think the majority of problems with the encyclopedia actually come from too few editors rather than too many.
Yeah, I completely agree. And I think there's a really good maxim of don't cite Wikipedia, write Wikipedia. You know, Wikipedia doesn't really want you to cite it. It considers itself a tertiary resource in an online encyclopedia, which is based on reliable published secondary sources. I also think it's relentlessly transparent. You can see absolutely everything that people do when they do it, and checked and challenged and corrected. So it's constantly iterative. I think one illustration that I thought was important and interesting is we had Timothy Gower speak at the State Library when he was here as a keynote for the Open Access Conference last year, and he came to the library to speak about open access and the relationship between open access and libraries. And he just talked about how he references Wikipedia to check, you know, mathematical equations, you know, and how active that community is, the mathematics and the science community is on Wikipedia. So I think some areas have a stronger representation than others. So it really depends on what you're referencing there. But yeah.
Great, thank you. I'm actually going to have to, I'm very sorry, I'm going to have to draw this to a close. I do apologise. I want to leave one lingering question, though, that came from James Cook University, which is a really great one, which is about the relationship between Wikipedia and altmetrics or academics profiles. So maybe we could get a sort of response to that online, and we'll be happy to post that up on our blog site afterwards. So in the meantime, I'm going to thank our speakers, so Thomas Shafi, Jacinta Sutton and Kate Harbison. This was a really interesting session. I would encourage you to all to run off and get your Wikipedia kind of credentials if you haven't got them. And maybe we can even check back sort of in a year's time or see how we're doing. I think it's a particularly fascinating area, and I love the relentlessly transparent. I think that's really my
new. Yeah, and I mean, the number of vandalism, you know, the vandalism edits on Wikipedia is around 7%. So that's pretty low, you know, in the context. So, yeah.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you very much to everyone, and check back with us at our next webinar. Look forward to hearing from everyone next time. Thanks very much.
Bye.